Hey, Johnny, check out this crazy pantry. Like it's the ghostly gardener.
What the?
Put down the pitchfork. No! Bad sheep! Sit! Sit! Don't do it! Stop now!
Doom cow!
Sorry, we ate your relatives.
That was Farm Zombies on Dead Ghost Coast to Coast. Can those farm zombies scare the pants off you kiddies? Me do.
Welcome to Checkered Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast covering many, many years of Cartoon Network's history.
I'm a mouse.
I'm Funky. I'm Fred.
Hi, the Powerpuff Girls. Hi.
Not now, boy. I'm busy. Tonight's the third night.
Good evening, Toonheads. It's your ghoulish host with the most, B-Dubs. And this is Checkered Childhood, a classic Cartoon Network podcast dedicated to all things animation from the 1990s and early 2000s. Today, we're celebrating spooky season with our first foray into two cartoons monster mashed into two other cartoons. How fun is that? When digging through the vault of Classic Cartoon Network, I found two episodes that I both remember vividly watching around Halloween time back in 1997, or at least around that year. Bravo Doobie Doo from Johnny Bravo Show, and Halloween with Dead Ghost Coast to Coast from Cow and Chicken, respectively. Like our previous comparison episodes, this will take multiple factors into consideration in determining which is the better episode worth viewing, or if you're a fan old enough to remember, revisiting once more. Let's size up the scares, shall we? Wait a minute. Why'd the lights go out? Well, you can't see me anyways, but let me get a flashlight to set the mood so I can read my notes in this dark, ominous bedroom of mine. So the episode info for these two episodes are as follows. The air date for Bravo Doobie Doo is July 21st, 1997, while the air date for Halloween with Dead Ghost Coast to Coast was originally October 31st, 1997, but was later pushed to January 20th, 1998 due to delays with production. Bravo Doobie Doo was written by Michael Ryan, while Halloween with Dead Ghost Coast to Coast was written by Richard Purcell. Bravo Doobie Doo was directed by John McIntyre, of Kitchen Casanova fame, actually. And, as you'd expect, Halloween with Dead Ghost Coast to Coast from Cow and Chicken was directed by David Feiss, with the animation being directed by Robert Alvarez. So let's compare and contrast through some categories that I thought were fitting for these episodes. Let's begin with story, the most obvious one. In the beginning of Bravo Doobie Doo, Johnny's car breaks down while on his way to visit his Aunt Jebedissa, who lives in a spooky Victorian house past the haunted woods. Luckily, Johnny isn't completely stranded. A particular groovy van stops by to offer him a lift. It's none other than the Scooby-Doo gang, who just happened to be looking for a new mystery to solve.
Hi there. My car just broke down, and I was wondering if you guys could give me a lift. I'm on my way to visit my Aunt Jebedissa, and I'd sure hate to be late. She lives in this spooky house up on Widow's Peak.
Spooky house? Jinkies!
Jinkies?
Johnny hops in the van, between Velma and Daphne, of course, as the group motors to the top of the hill where they'll investigate the relative's disappearance. After some bare-bones searching, Shaggy opens a broom closet, unleashing a creepy gardener glowing in yellow and white, who chases the gang until they lose him for the moment. Some typical Scooby-Doo hijinks then ensue, including more creepy closet opening, hiding behind curtains, and, of course, a typical 60s rock and roll hallway montage, until Johnny inadvertently catches the ghost in his tracks.
Don't worry, Dad. Help is on the way!
Good work, gang. We captured the ghost!
After a rather hilarious unmasking parody, the culprit is revealed to be none other than Aunt Jebedissa herself. Dun dun dun. Apparently, she hates Johnny and thought she could scare him away from visiting. Oddly enough, the Scooby-Doo gang apologizes to the aunt and offers to make it up to her by ditching Johnny Bravo back in the woods where they first found him. Not a moment sooner, Speed Buggy, who you may recognize from the Hanna-Barbera lexicon, offers him a ride after the mystery machine leaves.
Hey, pal, hop in. I'll give you a lift.
And believe it or not, that's the end of the episode. Pretty quick. Likewise, Cow and Chicken's another quick episode. Cow and Chicken begins watching a horror film in the living room involving sheep zombies who try to kill their farmers. Cow is shaking in her hooves while Chicken remains unaffected. Just then, the TV crossfades to Dead Ghost Coast to Coast, where the red guy in a space ghost getup reveals he has a Halloween hotline to call if viewers don't know what to be for the holiday. At the exorbitant rate of $3.99 per second, I might add.
Oh, you're a human being. Then dress as a chicken. You're a chicken. Dress as a human being.
One caller is given the suggestion to be a chicken, while Chicken is suggested to dress as a human being, because apparently the red guy can see them through the TV somehow. Excited, the siblings rush into their parents' room and rummage through their dressers to put on some of their parents' clothing. They look quite convincing as adults. Maybe a little too convincing. With their costumes completed, Cow and Chicken head to the streets for the Halloween candy haul. The first house's resident shouts at Cow and Chicken, appalled that a grown man and woman are out trick-or-treating on Halloween night. While the second one's house's emo teenager denies them candy because they aren't in costume like he was forced to wear when he was little. Then comes the third house. A man in an ill-fitting business suit thinks Cow and Chicken have got spunk for daring to break tradition and want to set up a business meeting with them the next day. The man flings business cards at them as his treadmill entrance retracts him back into his mansion. Miffed that they have failed to gain a single piece of candy, Chicken leads the duo to the next house, WAXX radio station, where Dead Ghost repels them for having the nerve to show up. Chicken snaps, shredding his costume, and prepares to throw a massive brick at Dead Ghost's window.
This is the worstest Halloween ever!
It's all his fault!
So, you're not a grown-up after all. You're a juvenile chicken delinquent! Well, maybe a little discipline will stop your masquerading ways!
Dead Ghost realizes he's not an adult after all, and instead snatches him to force-feed him soap/soup. Cow quickly changes into her Super Cow alter ego, and the two take on the pathetic excuse of a superhero with feathers, milk, and eggs. Defeated and humiliated, Dead Ghost offers to make it up to them. In the next scene, Cow and Chicken finally get to have their proper trick-or-treat moment they've been waiting for all night, and celebrate by chowing down on candy in the next field over under a crescent moon.
Turned out to be the best Halloween ever! Me honky nuka!
I'd say between these two stories, it's hard to tell which one is better. I really like the pacing of the plot for Bravo Doobie Doo. It's got a lot going for it. But Cow and Chicken is very traditional Halloween, and having them dress as humans is quite a unexpected surprise, as well as the red guy dressing up as Dead Ghost. So I'm going to give it a tie. I like them both for their theming, especially. Moving on to Category 2, we have villains. For Bravo Doobie Doo, of course, we have the ghostly gardener, who is played by Aunt Jebediza. She uses a rake, hoe, weed whacker, and wheelbarrow all to chase and terrorize Johnny and the Scooby-Doo gang all around her mansion. She's fairly frightening to look at, and I'd say is on par with any ghoul from the original or remake Scooby-Doo series. Definitely an excellent character design. Meanwhile, Dead Ghost seems more like a parody than an homage to Space Ghost. Red Guy dons the outfit fine enough, but some details are missing, and instead has Dead Ghost written on his white spandex, just in case the viewer didn't get the memo about his outfit. While I thought it was amusing, the red guy had to tape his horns back to make himself look convincing as Space Ghost, the outfit itself just barely holds up. He didn't even have the red communication emblem or zap anyone with his armbands, so lame. I think it's easy to see which one wins this category. I'm going to give it to the Ghostly Gardener from Bravo Doobie Doo. So that brings our total for Johnny Bravo number 2, Count Chicken 1.
Well, that's a fine kettle of fish.
For category 3, we have the spooky theme, where Bravo Doobie Doo revolves around a haunted house on a stormy night. Pretty straightforward textbook haunted Halloween tropes. It's typical Scooby-Doo fare, but the exception for Johnny Bravo's universe, so it makes it a little bit more interesting that it deviates from the usual daytime of Errand City on the show. Nothing too scary here outside of the atmosphere or really the main villain lurking in the Victoria Mansion, but I'd say these elements are enough to set the tone for the episode and reel you in. As for the Cow and Chicken episode, Halloween with Dead Ghosts Coast to Coast, it doesn't get any spookier than Halloween. Though I'd love to see dozens of kids trick-or-treating in the backgrounds while Cow and Chicken are searching for houses to collect their candy, I enjoyed it being a holiday episode proper. Dead Ghost slash the Red Guy unintentionally lends himself to the theme too, as he's both portraying a devil and a ghost. So I got to give him points for that. Plus, there's the Farm Zombies film playing at his TV station for Cow and Chicken to be scared of. So I appreciate the nod to horror movie marathons too that many of us like to enjoy during the holidays. I'm going to say between these two, I'm going to give it to Halloween with Dead Ghost Coast to Coast. So that brings the total Johnny Bravo 2, Cow and Chicken 2. I just like the Halloween theming a little bit more, and Bravo Doobie Doo is more like bare bones spookiness.
I wonder who lives here.
Yes. Category number 4, we have effectiveness of the crossover. I'd say after viewing both episodes, the Bravo Doobie Doo one is very effective. Like, it just seems spot on with how the character designs are, the voice acting is, even the silly plot and the tropes that you all know from Scooby-Doo, if you've seen it on Cartoon Network as well, they're all here. Like, Johnny Bravo just was seamlessly cut and paste into a Scooby-Doo episode and didn't even skip a beat. So I really love how just effortless this episode feels for the crossover. There's no friction. There's no weird dialogue that seems conflicting. So yeah, it's really good. Conversely, I'd say that Halloween with Dead Ghost Coast to Coast is not that effective. I mean, it's got good Halloween theming and all, but if we're talking about how it represents Space Ghost Coast to Coast, it doesn't really do it for me. And I was a fan of it when I watched it growing up. And Red Guy's costume just doesn't really fit accurately to Space Ghost. That kind of bothers me a bit. And same with his studio, too. It just looks like a oversimplification of his studio from the actual show. But I do like there's a bug sitting there at his own little kiosk at Dead Ghost Coast to Coast Studio, who's representing either Zorak or Lokar from the original source material. So I got to give it at least a little credit for doing something. But either way, I wish the use of the other show's iconography was just far more prominent than what they gave us. And for that reason, I'm going to give the point to Bravo Doobie Doo, bringing the total for Johnny Bravo 3 and Count Chicken 2. Moving on, we're going to talk about the music real quick. I'd say that the soundtrack that's being used in Bravo Doobie Doo is pretty catchy, pretty typical of Scooby-Doo. It's got a couple of jingles from Johnny Bravo's show mixed in. And I'd say like the 50s music, rockabilly stuff from Johnny Bravo blends pretty well with the groovy 60s music that you would hear in typical Scooby-Doo episodes. I mean, there's plenty of psychedelic guitar riffs. There's little Curiosity jingles and stingers whenever villains come out. It's really well seasoned with these musical accents, I'd say. So I liked it. As for Halloween Dead Ghost Coast to Coast, again, it doesn't really do much to elevate the typical Cow and Chicken formula. You hear the standard suburban instrumentals and dramatic stingers that you hear in other Cow and Chicken episodes, but you don't really get much Halloween-specific music. And I wish they just did a little bit more in terms of bringing the spooky atmosphere to make us really feel like it's a Halloween episode, other than just looking at the title card and getting the memo. It could have benefited from on-theme music, especially during the trick-or-treat scene, so at least we can transition from the normal suburban music to the holiday theme when they're out and about town. So, yeah. Johnny Bravo, of course, gets the point again here, bringing the total for Johnny Bravo 4 and Count Chicken 2. Next up, we have quotes. And there's quite a bit in both of these, but I just picked a few highlights that really stood out with me upon watching both of these. One of the quotes that I found pretty pretty funny is when Velma says,
"It looks like we're up to our ascots in a mystery."
Clearly that was for the animators and the older audience watching. And then, of course, you got,
"My glasses! I can't see without my glasses!"
Which Velma says, and then Johnny responds,
"My glasses! I can't be seen without my glasses!"
And they do like a little switcheroo with their glasses, which I think is an effective joke overall. And then, of course, Johnny Bravo says,
Jinkies, isn't that a breakfast cereal or something?
Made me think of Wheaties and just all the crazy cereals that were abound on 90s TV commercials. So that was a fun callback. As for Dead Ghost Coast to Coast, we have Chicken saying most of these, but the first one he says is,
"First, I will need human underwears. I'm allergic to plague."
And this is a reference to Chicken rummaging through his dad's dresser to look for clothes to dress up as his dad for Halloween. And he pulls out some briefs and then he pulls out some really garish looking green and pink bloomers, which I don't even know why those are in there in the first place. But the quote definitely solidified the imagery in the joke well. Second up, we have,
"I don't need no job. I need candy."
Oh, boy, if I had a dollar every time I wanted to say that in real life. It seems fitting, too, because all he got was business cards from that Ted Turner knockoff in the episode. And rightfully so, he's a kid. He's trick-or-treating. He wants candy. Give him some candy. And lastly, this one I got from Dead Ghost himself. He mentions this when he opens the door to Count Chicken in costume.
"If it is an ultra-normal man, an ultra-normal woman, the unemployment office is around the corner."
And then slams the door shut. I mean, that was pretty rough for them, considering he caused the problem that Count Chicken experienced with, you know, not being recognized as trick-or-treaters. So that one stung a little bit deeper than the others. In terms of who had the better quotes, it's a tough one. I think I'm going to give it to Halloween of Dead Ghost Coast to Coast because they're slightly more edgy and the Halloween stuff is pretty fun. I mean, I'm allergic to plaid, particularly hits with me because I'm used to wearing plaid shirts a lot. So I find them more goofy and off kilter than the Johnny Bravo ones, which just seem more standard with their formula, which is okay. With that extra point for Dead Ghost Coast to Coast, we have Johnny Bravo with 4 and Count Chicken with 3. And as a final bonus category, would you say either are rewatchable today? For Bravo Doobie-Doo, I'd say so. I mean, if you love Scooby-Doo or Johnny Bravo in general, it's a fun, faithful crossover for both shows. The ending is a bit kind of shoehorned in, and I didn't really like how Aunt Jebediza rallied the Scooby-Doo gang to turn on Johnny. That never sat well with me even as a kid. But I'd say the rest of the adventure is very much on point. It's tight, it's got gags, it's got music, it's got everything you want from Scooby-Doo. It's got Johnny's silly, sometimes even offensive pickup lines, and that's all you can ask for both shows. Just simply putting one and one together. As for Cow and Chicken with Dead Ghost Coast to Coast, I mean, it's okay, but it's not as fun as I originally remember it being when I first watched it. Everyone looks a bit off in their costumes, particularly, well, I mean, Cow, Chicken, the red guy, no one else dresses up here. So it isn't something I look forward to viewing every Halloween or even in general, unless I'm just feeling nostalgic for Cow and Chicken. But if it's included in a Cartoon Network themed marathon, I'd probably sit through it at the very least. And I think considering my enthusiasm is pretty apparent, I'm going to give the point to Johnny Bravo. And that brings the grand total for Johnny Bravo 5, Count Chicken 3. Meaning, if you're going by points, Bravo Doobie Doo is the winner of the spooky crossover comparison episodes.
Well, Mr. Bravo, I guess that leaves us with the kitchen. Come on!
Why do I have to get stuck with Jughead?
And I'd say it's overall the better episode, too. It came down to the crossover effectiveness and the music for me. And while it may not necessarily be a Halloween episode per se, the beauty of this one is that you can watch it any time of the year and still have a lot of fun. The Count Chicken one, however, is a bit more specific, so unless you're a diehard fan of the show, or just love seeing Space Ghost Coast to Coast references and pop culture TV out of the blue, it serves a very niche purpose. How about you, Toonheads? How do these two spooky episodes stack up to you? Do you have another episode in mind from Cartoon Network that could blow the two out of the water? Let me know. So here are my memories of both Halloween crossovers growing up.
Trick-or-treat.
I remember tuning into both when they first premiered back in the late 90s. It was a big deal to me that Space Ghost was in an episode since I loved staying up late to watch his Coast to Coast show years prior. I remember just hating how Red Guy set up Cow and Chicken for failure by giving them terrible costume suggestions and then denying them candy after all the effort they went through to get it. Very much like how the farm duo got their revenge at the TV station. I was right alongside them in my bedroom, punching pillows and throwing feathers as if I was getting into the action too. When I watched Bravo Doobie Doo, however, I was a bit confused at first because I didn't understand why Scooby-Doo was in the show. But I went along for the ride like Johnny Bravo did. My siblings actually tuned in with me too, and we loved the laughs that Johnny's jokes gave us, along with how Shaggy, he, and Scooby thwarted the ghost with their silly antics. even when Johnny just literally fell from the chandelier to trap him, that was unexpected but fun. And then, of course, the Apple Corps, Baltimore, who's your friend? Me! Quote, particularly stuck with us three, as we'd often repeat it to annoy each other at home, or even whenever we were just slicing apples for a snack around the house. The same year, I should have paid attention to Cow and Chicken's warning. I actually had the bright idea to dress up as Dexter from Dexter's Lab in his submarine outfit from season 2's episode Ocean of Commotion, which is very specific and nobody would ever get it. Basically, he was just wearing a purple zip-up fleece and a yellow like Jacques Cousteau beanie with his glasses. And I ended up wearing the costume for both trick-or-treating and my Halloween troop meeting in Boy Scouts back when I was in that. Ended up being the worst Halloween of my life, sad to say. Instead of candy, I got made fun of constantly for just looking too ordinary compared to the other kids. So I definitely felt Chicken's anguish when he tore off his dad costume in frustration for not getting any candy. Thankfully, though, I've had better Halloween since then. But the memory still lingers once in a while whenever I think about the holiday season. At least I'm dressed as something far more fun this year. So with everything being said in this episode today, why exactly do crossover episodes matter? Crossovers are a dime a dozen in modern day children's media. You can spot them practically anywhere and everywhere, through different streaming services and even just shoved in episodes of popular TV shows just to get attention and a little bit of nostalgia. But back then, back when it was just appointment television, when we didn't really have streaming or TiVo or barely VCRs, it was a rare treat whenever we got to see one on TV. Starting back in the late 80s, early 90s with the Jetsons Meet the Flintstones, Hanna-Barbera launched a TV Toon novelty by experimenting with two seemingly unrelated worlds colliding, both from the past and the future. And in these episodes, we get to witness the same formula applied for a newer audience. Sometimes, unexpected things can happen when character A becomes immersed in world B. But that doesn't mean it's all bad. If anything, the possibilities are opened up in the viewer's imagination when done well. When they're not, however, the theatrics and references tend to fall flat on their face.
And both Bravo Dewey Doo and Halloween with Dead Ghost Coast to Coast are prime examples of a crossover done both right and wrong. Kudos to Bravo Dewey Doo for doing the crossover pioneers justice and winning my favor today. So here's our closing. What Cartoon Network episodes do you love watching during spooky season? Is it any of the two that I mentioned? Email me at checkourchildhood@gmail.com with your responses, or write some comments down in YouTube, or you can just rate and review this episode on Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to this on your preferred podcast platforms. If you do, I'll definitely share your review with our fellow listeners in a future episode during our family segment. And don't forget to tell a friend, too, about this podcast so that they can enjoy and be informed of the various Cartoon Network topics that we cover. All right, check in next time when we visit another Cartoon Network legend, one whose longevity and versatility has cemented his pillar among Cartoon Network greats. Who will it be exactly? Hint, he loves science and samurais. You'll just have to listen to episode 21 to find out for sure. As always, thank you, fellow Toonheads, for being here today. It truly was a joy to share these spooky, terrifying, candy-filled checkered childhood memories with you. And hope, like best friends, we'll do it again soon. Zoinks! I think it's time to get out of this spooky house while the getting's good, because I feel like if I don't, there might be a haunted weed whacker or something that will cut my head off. Ooh. Have a spooktacular evening, my friends. Until the shadows of night fall away from the lights, I'll check you next time.
Thanks, Dead Ghost.
Gracias, imbecil.
Real nice kids.
Now, let's see who the ghostly gardener really is.
Bigfoot? Ron Nuts? June Barbera?
Who's that?